This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Welcome to Face Connecticut, an in-depth look at today's issues.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Face Connecticut. I'm Morgan Cunningham on WTIC News Talk 1080, Light 100.5 WRCH and 96.5 TIC. Our guest this morning is Becky Bernardo. She is with Every Bunny Counts. Not everybody counts, Every Bunny Counts. They work with bunnies that you might adopt as a pet, for instance. But this is actually a serious issue because they have a lot of bunnies, as do other organizations, not just Every Bunny Counts. And in many ways, we're seeing issues involving abuse of bunnies also popping up. So this is an issue that we really should be talking more about, and that's what we're going to be doing this morning on Face Connecticut. Becky, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me, Morgan. I appreciate it. One of the biggest things that we do is advocacy and education for rabbits, and so we're really grateful that you reached out to us to have us on today.
I'm so happy that you were available to come on the program. Let's just start with a basic background. What is Every Bunny Counts? First of all, I also have to say I love the name.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. I actually inherited the organization in 2022. So we began in 2015 as a nonprofit domestic rabbit rescue. So we don't handle the wild rabbits that you would see in your yard. And we're one of only four nonprofit domestic rabbit rescues in the state of Connecticut. So the other three, close friends of mine, Save the Buns is in Stafford, Dunlandia Rabbit Rescue and Rehab is in Seymour, and Hopalong Hollow is the oldest rabbit rescue in Connecticut, and they are in Norwalk. So it's just the four of us that specialize in domestic rabbits. We take them in from owner surrenders, animal control, if there's a neglect or a cruelty case, and everybody counts. In the last couple of years, we've really focused on dumped rabbits. So rabbits that have been illegally set free outside. That is not something that's allowed in the state of Connecticut. And most rabbits just can't survive outside. They're not the same as wild rabbits. So we take them into our organization. We put them in foster homes. We spay and neuter and give them all the vet care they need. And then we adopt them out to loving indoor homes.
In researching for our program and doing a little bit of reading, I was surprised to learn that there are, in fact, differences between rabbits that you would get as a domesticated pet and also a wild rabbit, that they certainly do not survive the same. Could you talk about some of those differences?
Absolutely. So this is something that I found out about after I'd gotten into rabbits. So domestic rabbits are actually a lineage of European wild rabbits. They don't have anything in common except for, you know, being lagomorphs with the eastern cottontails, the New England cottontails that you see in the United States. So they don't even have the same number of chromosomes, the genetic material, that rabbits in the wild in the United States have. So domestic rabbits have 44 chromosomes, 22 pairs, and wild rabbits, depending on the particular species, have anywhere between 38 and 52, I believe. So they can't even breed together. From time to time, we'll have someone say, oh, I think my rabbit is half wild. I promise you it isn't. They can't even reproduce. So they don't have the same survival skills. For example, a wild rabbit will never approach a human being, especially an adult. A baby might if it's really in danger. But a domestic rabbit absolutely will, especially the friendlier ones. So they don't have that sort of stranger danger sense that the wild ones do. And they don't have the same development in terms of vision and hearing as wild rabbits. I'm sure you've seen the floppy-eared bunnies before. They actually, most of them have very limited hearing because of the design of their skull and their ears. So they're just not designed to survive in the wild the way that cottontails are.
I would imagine that most people, like myself, like you before you were involved in Everybody Counts and you started doing this work more, that they don't actually know that, which is why, perhaps one reason why, I should say, this issue of dumping rabbits is growing in Connecticut.
Yes, that's absolutely one reason why. So people are misled. They think, well, if I see wild rabbits outside, then my rabbit will be fine outside. Then I don't have to worry about feeding it and cleaning it. Some people mistakenly believe that they would be happier outside. And while that might be true for the first 5 minutes, ultimately it won't pan out for them. Another reason is that there's very limited law enforcement resources for domestic rabbits. So they are protected by state statutes under Chapter 435, Section 22 of the state statutes. But most animal control officers and departments either don't understand the law, so they don't believe that it's their responsibility, or they don't have the resources, despite it being their responsibility, to enforce when rabbits are abandoned or abused, or take them in when one is brought to them or it's brought to their attention. So there's a lot of things that sort of create this problem on top of just the general overpopulation. So pet stores selling a rabbit to anyone who walks in the door and overbreeding. We have an overpopulation domestic rabbit crisis in Connecticut right now.
What does that do to an organization like yours, Everybody Counts? I'm talking with Becky Bernardo from the group. Because, as you mentioned, there are only four in the state that do specifically what you do for domestic rabbits.
So it puts a serious strain on us, and it prevents us from being allowed to take owner surrenders. I recently had someone get very upset with us because we weren't in a position to take her rabbit that she had developed an allergy to. And while I wanted to be able to help, when we have rabbits that are immediately facing a life or death situation outside and need to be brought into rescue, that's the decision that I have to make. So there's only four of us. None of us make a single dollar for anything we do. I personally work 40 hours a week in addition to my job as a public school teacher, and it's unpaid. And it puts a lot of strain. And the four of us that run these rescues have really fully devoted our lives to that. And it makes us unable to, you know, get married or have kids because we're busy taking care of the responsibilities of others. So it limits who we can take into rescue. It can put an impact on your personal lives. The good news is that here we have wonderful volunteers. So we have people who come and take care of the rabbits 7 days a week. We have foster homes. So we have 43 bunnies in rescue currently. 13 of them are here in our facility in Ellington waiting to be adopted. And the other 30 are in foster homes. So it forces us to get creative, which we have managed to do for the last 9 years.
Being creative, what does that look like?
That's a really great question. So we are based, or we run entirely based off of donations, the kindness and generosity of people's hearts. So right now, one thing I am doing to raise money for the rescue is I have two bunnies with me, and I'm offering professional bonding services. So for $500 a week, I will take two bunnies that don't like each other and make them like each other is the short of it. And that is like a 24/7 thing. So they have to sleep next to me. I went out and got breakfast this morning. They had to come in the car with me. Many people don't realize that you can't just put two rabbits together and boom, it's a happy ending. You have to do this bonding thing. So that is a service that we provide. And then we also do bunny spa days where people come into the rescue. They get their bunny's nails done. They get mats shaved out. We have a professional photographer do photo shoots with them. We have lots of different venues that we do fundraising through. My chief fundraising officer is my vice president. She's been with us for 7 years as well. And the things she comes up with are just wonderful.
As far as problems with people who think, okay, I'm going to adopt a rabbit, Becky, people who think that this is an easy task, right? As you mentioned, it's not just as easy as putting one or two rabbits together, etc. So if somebody over adopts, you know, they get three or four, and then maybe the bunnies multiply and you get many more bunnies, right?
Yeah.
I knew somebody who had 24 rabbits. You know, that can become very problematic if you don't know how to take care of them and if you don't have the resources to take care of them, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. That's something that I hear every day. I had two rabbits. The pet store told me they were both female or they were both male. Happens all the time. That's another great reason to adopt from the rescue, because there's a 0% chance that we'll have mis-sexed a rabbit. But also spay and neuter is incredibly important, and I don't think that that is really disclosed by pet stores, by backyard breeders, when they're selling these rabbits. And that's how people with good intentions, oh, I wanted, you know, two or three rabbits as pets, end up with a really overwhelming situation. So female rabbits have a gestational period of 28 to 33 days. They can carry two litters at once, and they can become impregnated the moment that they have finished giving birth. They can also produce litters of 5 to 12 rabbits at a time. So you can imagine the sort of nightmare scenario that that can create for someone. Yes, especially someone who's not particularly knowledgeable. So we make sure that all of our rabbits are spayed and neutered at 6 months. We provide on our website a list of veterinarians who we trust to spay and neuter rabbits, so that if someone comes to us and says, hey, I want to do the responsible thing, or I got a little in over my head, they have resources. And in addition to that, what people don't realize is that female rabbits have an 85% chance of developing fatal uterine cancer by the age of 3 if they are not spayed. So a domestic rabbit should live 10 to 12 years, but many females don't make it to age 3 or 4 because they develop uterine cancer. And, you know, another part of your question is the monetary resources. Rabbits are considered exotic animals. Most veterinarians don't see them. You have to pay extra to see an exotic veterinarian. They're specialists. And that can feel a little crazy to people because they're the third most popular animal in the United States, right behind dogs and cats. And really, the amount of care they require, I always say it's right in between dogs and cats. More than a cat, less than a dog. So much of what we do is education and advocacy, and I'm always happy to answer questions for people on rabbit care and husbandry before they get into rabbits, even if they're not going to adopt from us, because I know that further down the line, that will help prevent the sort of issues that we're seeing.
Becky Bernardo is my guest on Face Connecticut this morning, talking about pet rabbits and the problems that we've been seeing in Connecticut and across the country as well. She's with Every Bunny Counts in Ellington. Not everybody, but every bunny. I'm Morgan Cunningham. Now, Becky, you had just mentioned the C word, which is cost. And so I am very curious.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40... it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I. com.
Is there a number that you could put toward taking care of a rabbit? One rabbit per year, is there an annual number that if somebody's interested in adopting a rabbit, or two, that they should at least have this budgetary number in mind?
That's a great question. I mean, it depends on whether you're purchasing them and they're unfixed, like they need that basic veterinary care, or whether you're adopting. So it is much more cost efficient to adopt. I would say husbandry costs every month are probably about $100, so that puts you at $1,200. And then veterinary care kind of depends on the breed. Most rabbits have, like, an emergency a year or so. So I put it between $3,000 and $5,000 a year to own a single rabbit.
That's a bit of money, especially if people think that this is just a simple pet that hops around and looks cute.
Yes, yeah, it's quite expensive. And actually here, Our adoption fee is only $150. The average cost of a spay and neuter in Connecticut currently is about $800 at a reputable veterinarian. You can certainly get it done for much less at someone, you know, that I wouldn't personally recommend. And then we've spent up to $5,000 on a single rabbit, and we're asking $150 for the adoption fee. So, you know, just in terms of budgeting, it makes so much more sense to adopt from us than it would be to just buy a baby rabbit.
That almost seems unbelievable. The funding that you guys must get must really make a serious difference if you're putting up that kind of cost, and when someone adopts, it's only $150.
Yes, absolutely. We have to fundraise constantly, 24/7. We have a couple of regular generous donors, which is wonderful, but even those like $5 donations here and there make such a massive difference. So we almost never have to pay for supplies here. It's wonderful. People just kind of buy them off of our Amazon wish list, which you can find on our website, everybodycountct.org. So we almost never have to buy supplies. And then the vast majority of the monetary donations we receive go to vet care. We spend about $30,000 to $35,000 a year on vet care for our rabbits. And then our rent as well. We have a wonderful landlord here in Ellington who charges us as little as she possibly can, but for a nonprofit organization, it's still something that we have to cover every month.
About how many rabbits do you guys currently have?
Yeah, right now we have 43 rabbits in rescue. That's a great question. The last one who came in was Apple Streusel. She's a little baby mini rat who was just found in the middle of a road by someone who happened to follow our Facebook page.
43, give me an idea. Is that your capacity? Can you take any more or not many more?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's uncomfortable at 43. I really would like to stay around the 30 number, but this is the worst time of year for us. People are putting their rabbits outside that they bought their children for Easter that are now teenagers, that are spraying, that are chewing things. So I'm constantly either outside trapping domestic rabbits or someone is bringing them to us. So it's definitely an uncomfortable number, and it's getting harder and harder to find veterinary care. So we're trying to really slow that down. When we were based in Bristol, which we were for many years before moving to Ellington, we did have up to 120 rabbits at one time.
Wow.
But we operated, yeah, we operated with a different board of directors and had different sort of procedures. So with the way that Kristen, my vice president, and I like to run things, this is the number that we are absolutely max capacity at.
Do you see yourself doing this for much longer going into the future? You seem very passionate about it. Obviously, you've been leading this group now for a few years, but you also have another full-time job. I don't know what your personal life is like, anything like that, but this obviously takes a lot of time, effort, and also some worry to keep this going. So do you think that you've got it in you to keep this up for a while longer?
You know, you asked me the question that I ask myself almost every day, and thus far I've never come to know, because as frustrating as it is, and there's days when I cry, there's days when I want to scream, then I take care of these animals that other people have just disposed like their life means nothing, and I see the gratefulness in their eyes, and for the foreseeable future, the answer to me is yes. I'm 30 years old, so I still feel like I have a lot of time and energy left in me. I joke that some of our board of directors members, they have younger kids. So I joke that I'm sort of like prepping them to take over when I retire. But we just signed a 5-year lease here on our brand new facility in Ellington. So, you know, for the foreseeable future, absolutely. Yes, this is my passion. I wish that there wasn't a need for it, but I am grateful that I'm in the position to be able to do it. And I feel really equipped to do so.
Becky, if you're 30 and you have, let's say, you know, 5 years with this new lease and you insist that you stick it out for at least 5 years, you know, you might go longer or whatever it may be. Is there a bigger picture goal here for you? Can you see yourself, maybe you've already done this and I don't know, but can you see yourself going to the state capitol and advocating for more rights for rabbits, as in laws?
Yes, absolutely. And that's something that we've already begun to do a little bit with the Department of Agriculture and the State Animal Control Department. Even the State Animal Control Department was a little bit confused about the laws. And one of their officers told me that it wasn't their responsibility to handle domestic rabbits when it's very clear that it is. So that's something that we're already doing, and we are speaking with a couple of people in positions of influence, whether those are high-profile veterinarians or other members of the animal rescue community. So I think that in order for us to keep doing this, that is something that we absolutely have to do. And branching out and making ourselves and our cause, more importantly, really well known. So, yes, absolutely.
Is there any one law in particular you would like to see enacted or updated in Connecticut?
For me, it would be the enforcement of Chapter 435, Section 22-332, which is that regional and municipal animal control facilities must impound domestic animals. There is actually a stipend in Connecticut when dogs specifically are adopted out, euthanized, or dead on arrival. There is a stipend provided for every dog to the animal control officer responsible for that animal. That is not the case for any other animal, and the reason is because dogs destroy property more so than cats or rabbits or guinea pigs or parrots. So if animal control officers were paid better and they didn't need to make that stipend, if they had the resources and the know-how to take in animals other than dogs, that would alleviate a little bit of the stress on these very small nonprofit organizations. So it's not a blame that I'm placing on anyone, except really for the state to provide these resources to these animal control officers. There's a couple that we work with that are wonderful, but I see that they don't have what we have. And when that's where taxpayer money goes to, versus here, we're not based off of taxpayer money. We don't receive any government funding. Those resources should be available so that those officers can follow the law.
My guest this morning on Face Connecticut is Becky Bernardo. She is with Every Bunny Counts, which is in Ellington. Just real quick, we have a few minutes left here, Becky. But for people who are listening, how can they get in touch with you, your group? Maybe they're interested in adopting one of your buddies, or they want to learn a little bit more about bunny care. Where can they go to learn more?
Absolutely. So we have a couple channels. The best way to contact us is through our website. It's everybunnycountsct.org, and there's a little contact tab there. So that will send me a little notification that you want to get in touch with me. There's also tons of resources there. So questions about fostering for us. Fostering is a massive need right now, by the way, with all the dumped rabbits that we're taking in. Questions about adopting, questions about bunny ownership, about what we do. Like I mentioned earlier, we have a list of reputable exotics veterinarians in the state on our website. So our website is wonderful, everybunnycountsct.org. For more of the like fun, lighthearted stuff, we also have our Facebook page and our Instagram page, and those are easily findable by typing in Every Bunny Counts Rabbit Rescue in your Instagram or Facebook search bar. We post really regularly there with all of our adoptable and foster rabbits.
Adorable pictures, too, may I add.
Oh, thank you.
Who takes all those pictures? Is it you? Do you have someone else on the team? I think you mentioned you hire a photographer. Is that the case?
We do. Yes, we have a photographer. Her name is Emily. And Emily is a professional bunny photographer, but like everyone else on our board, she has a day gig, and she is actually a NICU nurse at St. Francis Hospital. So she does this amazing thing, making sure that these little babies who maybe started off a little disadvantaged come into the world and they're happy and healthy. And then she spends so much of her week. She's our secretary, and she also does all of the bunny photography here as well. So everyone that volunteers for us is incredible. And we all have these dual lives, our bunny life and then our regular person life.
Well, she's doing a great job with the pictures, if I may say. The last question I want to ask you for anybody who is interested in responsibly, that's the key word, responsibly adopting a bunny. You have 43 at the moment, so I know that if that's uncomfortable for you, as you said, you're probably looking to hopefully find some safe homes for these bunnies. What should somebody know about the process if they're interested in working with you guys to adopt a bunny?
Yeah, so there's two things that I want them to know. One, we really want you to have an account set up with an exotics veterinarian. Even if you haven't seen one yet, we want you to find one that's close by to you that you're comfortable working with, because you don't want to wait until it's an emergency with a rabbit. They're really delicate creatures. You want to have that good to go, and we will help you with that process. The other thing is that we are totally willing to educate people on rabbit husbandry and needs. So don't feel like your application has to be perfect. I know it feels lengthy. It's just because we're looking for people who are willing to put in the time and effort. We're not looking for those perfect answers. So much of what we do is talking to people about how much space bunnies need. They actually need 16 square feet of room at all times. So we're totally willing to help people understand what they're going to need before they bring their new bunny home. So the process is worth it, I promise.
Becky, I really appreciate it. Again, just to wrap up, how can people find you and Every Bunny Counts in Ellington online?
So it's everybunnycountsct.org. That's the best way to find us.
All right, fantastic. I really appreciate your coming on, and I hope we could do another Every Bunny update at some point in time in the future.
Thank you, Morgan. I appreciate you having us so much.
Absolutely. Take care. Thank you.
You as well. Thank you.
Bye.
Face Connecticut is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of WTIC Radio.